Cougar fans, it is time.
Touchdown! What a grab!
It's time to raise your colors, raise your voice, and join in on the raucous roundtable about your favorite team, the BYU Cougars.
20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
It's time to tailgate. Cougar Tailgate, where BYU sports fandom lives. And here's your host, Lauren McClain.
What's up, Cougar Nation? I'm Lauren McClain, and we're here to tailgate with you, doing what we do best, talking all things BYU Cougars. Joining me today are BYU Radio student producers Carter Bond and Tori Kimball. What's up, you guys?
What's up, Lauren?
How's it going?
Thank you for being here. Good to have you on this side of the studio. There's been a massive overhaul with the BYU basketball team in the past 3 months. After former head coach Mark Pope left for Kentucky. So we're going to give everyone a quick refresher on what the squad looks like as of right now. You guys ready for this?
Yep.
Yeah, let's do it.
Every time I say that, reminds me of that. All right, key departures from last year's team. Ali Khalifa and Noah Waterman went to Louisville. Spencer Johnson, as Carter pointed out, is old and he graduated. Jackson Robinson headed to Kentucky with Mark Pope. Atiki Aliatiki, New Mexico with
Bronco Mendenhall.
Bronco Mendenhall and staff. Marcus Adams went to Cal State Northridge. All right, we'll start with Carter. Of that group, who were you the saddest to see go?
So actual basketball-wise, it's Jackson Robinson for obvious reasons. NBA talent, was probably the most talented player on last year's roster. As a cult favorite, Ali Khalifa. He's the man. He's the Egyptian magician. I love him. But I'm going to go with Jackson Robinson.
As a cult favorite. What about for you, Tori?
I mean, I have to agree. Basketball-wise, we miss Spencer Johnson. He's just great. He brought great energy to the team. Having a sixth man like him was incredible. But honestly, I'm also going to say Noah Waterman. I was not the biggest Noah Waterman fan 2 years ago when he was just not the best. But watching his improvement, I was kind of excited to see where he could go. I liked his scrappiness. We're not too sad seeing what we've brought in this year. So.
Yeah, he had a great year. Noah Waterman had a great year last year. I am most sad to see Ali Khalifa go. And basketball-wise, Jackson Robinson, for me, he's a very good player, NBA talent, but I feel like the role he played could be easily filled, if that makes sense. And then as that was proven by exactly who they brought in, there was like three guys that fills that exact role that Jackson Robinson left. Ali Khalifa is leaving this hole. I don't think there's anybody like him in the entire country. And that was, I think he was the difference maker, one of the biggest ones of what gave BYU basketball success last year, because they didn't have anyone, a big man like him. And no one knew how to guard him. They kind of figured it out as the season went on. But I think he was kind of that key factor. So I think Ali Khalifa is going to be the guy that I miss most basketball-wise. But let's talk about some of the key arrivals, starting with the transfers. You got Kaba Keita. He's a junior transfer from Utah. Came with Chris Burgess. Joined the staff. He's 6'8". And when Chris Burgess joined the staff, he's 6'8", 230 pounds. He's a good rim defender, good rebounder, scores around the rim. And Burgess said he'll be the fastest five-man on the court. And I've heard he's been doing some crazy dunks on people in practice.
Oh, yeah. He's absolutely insane. If you want to talk about athleticism, Kaba is just bringing a whole new level to the team. Dude can just jump out of the gym. It's going to be insane. And so it'll be a nice difference between having Ali Khalifa, a different five-man play style. Right now we're coming back to we're going to have some crazy dunks. We're going to have some crazy athleticism.
All right, we got Mawat Mag. He's a senior transfer from Rutgers. 6'7", small forward, known for his defense and rebounding. And then he got Max Triplett. No one's really talking about him very much because he's a walk-on from Snow College.
Yeah.
I went to Snow College, so I got to bring up this guy. Love the Badgers. 6'9", post player, scores near the rim and can rebound. Hey, you never know with some of these walk-ons.
Yeah, Max Triplett, Townsend Triple, it's going to be crazy. At the end,
in
these 30-point blowouts against University of Idaho, it's going to be fantastic.
You got to put those guys in together. All right, Carter, who are you most excited to see in action from those three guys that I mentioned?
Those three, I think the obvious answer is Kaba Keita. We finally have a lob threat. We were talking before we started recording this show. No one could really dunk on the team last year. Like, people obviously could dunk, but they weren't necessarily lob threats or you weren't scared about them dunking on someone. We've seen the practice footage. He can clearly slam it on anybody, even at 6'8". He's not a 7-foot center. So having a real lob threat is very exciting for BYU next season.
Who are you most excited about, Tori?
I mean, I got to be excited for Kaba. It's fun basketball to watch. I am really excited about Mo. He's brings a very even play style to the team that I think with all of the star power and with just all this overhaul that he is extremely calm. He's very level. And I'm excited to see that and watch that play on the team.
It was obvious what these coaches were going after. They were going after some height. That's what kind of what BYU has lacked in some big athletic guys. I love the fact that we're going to be seeing some dunks. I really miss that. I had people, just random fans, be like, why is BYU not dunking? Like, as good as
they
are,
can't.
Why do they just do layups?
Why am I not dunking in LDS pickup basketball? Because I can't. If I could, I would.
But the thing is, I mean, you got like 6'10 Noah Waterman. You had, you know, yeah. I mean, Foose would give us a dunk here and there, yeah. Right? But he's shorter compared to the other five man guys that he's been defending, and so it's harder for it was harder for him in the Big 12 to get any dunks.
Yeah,
not as many opportunities, but yeah, I think this year is going to be a little bit different in that aspect. Let's talk about some of the new recruits. We got Kanan Catchings, freshman from Indiana, top 40 recruit, played with Overtime Elite under now assistant coach Tim Fanning. He's 6'9" and he's a guard, has the ability to hit threes, make plays off the dribble, play above the rim. He decommitted from Purdue because he was concerned over his role on the team. He's the highest ranked recruit in BYU basketball history, according to 24/7 Sports, just over Eric Mika and TJ Haas. Whoa, that guy's got a lot of accolades. So the only thing I think that concerns us about this guy, right, is decommitting from Purdue, phenomenal basketball team, obviously made it to the national championship, because he was concerned over his role in his playing time. So let's talk about some of the other guys that are coming in, and maybe we can address that a little more. We got Yegor Demin, five-star international recruit, likely one and done from Moscow, Russia. Coach Young says at 6'9", his passing, playmaking, and shooting will fit seamlessly into our style of play. He played for Real Madrid in Europe, is projected to be a top 10 pick in the 2025 NBA draft. When he gets a ranking, Igor will top Catchings as the highest-ranked recruit in BYU history. And then you got Elijah Crawford, freshman from Georgia, four-star point guard. His greatest abilities are creating his own shot and scoring all three levels. Decommitted from Stanford, and he's the eighth-best recruit in BYU basketball history, according to 24/7 Sports. You got Brody Kozlowski, true freshman and four-star prospect out of Corner Canyon High School. I'm sure he's really sad he's not going to be playing with the LeBron Jameson, which is why he came to BYU now. 6'8", back-to-back high school player of the year in Utah, fifth best recruit in BYU basketball history, according to 24/7 Sports. Then you got Brooks Barr, freshman from Keller, Texas, 6'4", 180-pound, three-star combo guard, committed back in November with Mark Pope. He's going to be serving a mission, and then he's going to be coming back in 2026. All right, guys, so from those, who do you think is going to be making the biggest impact in year one? Carter.
I mean, I'm going to, like I said, I've been shocked this whole episode, so I'm going to go Yegor Demin again. I think why Yegor is going to be so great is that BYU's biggest problem last year is they didn't have someone that could create their own shot and really, truly run the offense. I think Down was put into a role he wasn't necessarily comfortable with, playing point guard when he was typically a combo guard, more of a two-style player, and he was having to force into that point guard role, and I think he did a fine job, but BYU finally has that next-level player that can create their own shot. At the end of a game, it's a tie game, 1 minute left. You have a guy that you can say, hey, here's the ball, make a play, get us a bucket, get an open shot somehow. I think he's that guy, and I think that's what can take BYU over to that next level, into that, hey, this is a legit Final Four contender type team.
Yeah, we'll see. Tori, what do you think?
I mean, I have to agree. If you're getting this possible first-round pick for the NBA, we've not seen something like that. And so Yegor is going to come in, and like Carter said, just having that option to throw him the ball, let him make his own shot, let him take over the team, because that was a little bit of our issue last year, is we had these players who could play really well together, but the moment you needed someone to drive to the basket, you needed someone to make something happen, we just didn't have someone to look for. I'm going to put my hat in there for Elijah Crawford. I think having a guard who's actually very comfortable driving to the basket and not necessarily so reliant on the three, that's a big shakeup for BYU. And so it's going to be nice to have this kind of smaller guard who's willing to go penetrate, kick out, willing to look at these huge big men that we have now. Elijah Crawford's going to make a difference.
Coach Fanning said on BYU Sports Nation that there won't be much distinction between the one and the four with these guys. And I think that's going to be such an interesting thing to watch, because one of their problems is, and we'll talk about this a little later, but how do you get all these guys playing time, right? Because clearly that's what they want. That's why they're coming to BYU. Two of these guys think they're going to be one and done.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't get playing time, that's not going to happen, right? So it's going to be a really interesting dynamic, tough decisions for the coaches. But I think that's going to be a big key, is he said, not going to be much distinction between the one and the four when they start playing.
Yeah, I think going off that, I think it more so means that anybody can bring the ball up is what he's trying to go after.
Yeah.
And that was BYU's biggest problem last year, because Dallin Hall is prone to get cheap fouls in games because he's not the most elite defender, so he would overcompensate and reach in and get stupid fouls from time to time. So then you weren't comfortable with anybody else on that team at the time bringing up the ball, whether it was Spencer Johnson. They would have him play point guard sometimes.
Yeah.
Jackson Robinson was not a point guard in any way. And so you weren't comfortable. Now they have multiple guys like Elijah Crawford, like Yegor Demin, like Dallin Hall, where they can say, hey, bring up the ball. We're comfortable with you bringing up the ball. And we all know college basketball is a guards game. So
yeah. All right, let's talk about some of the key returners. Dallin Hall, who we mentioned a lot of times, it's pronounced Dallin Hall, by the way. He's the team's floor general. He's had a huge developmental season last year. Hall's return ensures BYU has a steady and experienced presence running the offense. You got Richie Saunders, the fan favorite, known for his defensive skills and versatility. Saunders adds grit and reliability on the wing. You got Trevin Nell with his sharp shooting ability and experience, valuable from the three. Fusini Traore, his dominance in the paint gives BYU a strong inside presence, and he's crucial for battling against the tough competition in the Big 12. Seeing this happen in year one of the Kevin Young era, how much does this excite you for BYU basketball going forward?
It's hard not to have blue goggles and get super excited and be like, we're going to compete for national championship and all this stuff. But a lot of this has to gel. This is going to take time. I think there's going to be growing pains. I think we're going to be sitting there and they're going to be playing in that San Diego Thanksgiving tournament being like, this should look a little bit better, but there's so many moving parts and this takes time with chemistry and everything. I think it's going to be tough early on, and then they'll kind of hit their stride come conference play. So I would like to taper expectations, especially immediately, but it's nice when you kind of get to play easier schools early on in the schedule. It excites me a lot. And, you know, the fact that BYU's recruiting like they've never done before is awesome, and they're putting in money like a blue blood. So
that's right.
No, I mean, like Carter said, it's hard not to get excited. I do love the way that our schedule is set up for this incoming year. It does give them time to gel a little bit. And, I mean, this is all new to everyone, right? Kevin Young's not coached on the college level, so this is new for him, despite being an NBA coach. It's new for a lot of players. You even have like Kanan Catchings, Agor Trevin. They've not played in the United States on the college level yet. It's just going to be new. It's going to take some time to gel. I do think we're going to exceed expectations. I know we're not ranked super high on way too early expectation lists yet. I think it's going to go well, though. It's going to definitely take some growing pains. We'll see probably a lot of switch-ups on who's playing when and what those rotations look like, but it's going to be good.
Which I love, by the way. I love that BYU isn't ranked in the top 25 right now, the way too early predictions. I feel like it takes some pressure off of Kevin Young and the players coming in and gets, you know, just gives them time to just get to know each other and gel as a team. I think having the bottom-heavy schedule like BYU did last year, have kind of easy at the beginning, was glorious, right? Look how that turned out for BYU. I think that's so smart. BYU gets to do that again, kind of get their feet under them. Because they had a lot of moving pieces last year.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a lot of transfers coming in and guys that need to learn how to gel, and look how well that turned out.
And also, they're also playing the net game too, where, yeah, we know the net's not the end-all be-all, but it makes the conference look better. You're going to get these 30-point wins over Idaho. We saw the net where a 30-point win over Idaho means more than playing another average Power 5 school and beating them by five. So
Right. Getting
those huge wins helps them in the net and overall in their NCAA tournament resume.
Who do you guys believe will surprise BYU fans the most of all those guys that we mentioned? Tori.
Dang. Of those that we mentioned, I mean, it's not a surprise. I think Richie Saunders is going to come out and just be the same old Richie that we love. And I think it's going to work really well with the transfers and the people that we've picked up. Just this scrappy style of play, really getting after it. We need him on defense. He's all over the place. We didn't mention him, but I think Trey Stewart is also going to be one that we didn't see much of last year. I know that there were some issues with him and Mark Pope, but this year I think Trey Stewart could come out. He's still here. We'll see what he does.
What about for you, Carter?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with her. I'm gonna copycat. I don't think Richie Saunders is much of a surprise, but I think we'll be pleasantly surprised with how well he plays, getting a lot of minutes. Because last year, coming off the bench, he was in that weird role, kind of like Jackson Robinson, where he wasn't able to start, but he came in, was that glue guy. I'm just more curious to see how he, assuming he's starting next season, how he plays at starting from the top of the game.
I didn't realize how big of Richie Saunders fans we are, because that's exactly yeah. that's legit who I was thinking of, all those guys. And I think he will be a surprise a little bit, because you expect these four-star, one five-star recruit coming in to have this huge impact and these transfers that are going to be phenomenal, we hope, right? But I think little old Richie Saunders has been here a couple of years. I think he has the experience. He knows BYU. He knows the Big 12. And he has this grit that I feel like is undervalued, and he's going to have a huge impact in this year. All right, coming up, we'll take a deeper dive into the new faces on the staff that help bring in this historical recruiting class. This is Cougar Tailgate. Welcome back to Cougar Tailgate. I'm Lauren McClain with Carter Bond and Tori Kimball. All right, let's get into the coaching staff a little bit. Kevin Young, assistant coach with the Phoenix Suns, highest paid assistant in the league. We've talked about him. We know a bunch about Kevin Young by now. Now that you've seen what he can do, what's your excitement level of having him at the helm and hopefully for a long time, Tori?
I mean, I was excited from the get-go. I've been a huge Phoenix Suns fan my whole life, and it was funny, even a few days before this was announced, before Kevin Young was really on BYU's radar, my dad and I had been talking about how, wow, well, when Vogel gets fired, maybe we're going to have Kevin Young be the head coach of the Suns. That'd be great. Little did I know he'd come to my school, and that's even better. Kevin Young, I am just super excited about what he's bringing. He has this just level-headedness to his coaching style, the recruits he's brought in, and just his attention to detail for an offense. I think that's what we were kind of lacking last year, is really our offense. It was good, but it was just a lot of three ball. It was a lot of kicking to the three. It got predictable after a while. It became pretty easy to guard. Kevin Young has that experience to bring us a high-level offense that I think BYU has been lacking in the past.
Mm. What do you think, Carter?
Yeah, I just, you know, overall, I mean, from what I've seen, it's just a phenomenal recruiter, obviously, and he's able to show these guys, hey, if you come to BYU, I can get you to the league. I have the best connections out of any coach in college basketball right now, maybe bar, you know, a Duke or a Carolina kind of thing, and I can get you to the league. I can be that pipeline for you to get to the NBA. So that's what's most exciting. I'm just curious, because I don't know if we've ever genuinely seen his full coaching style, what mm-hmm. that actually is, because mm-hmm. we talk about it, we're like, ooh, the Phoenix Suns, high-flying offense, it was fun in 21 when they made the finals, and this team, especially last season, like, I don't know how much impact he had on the offense of the Phoenix Suns last year. I feel like that offense just kind of runs itself, where it's take your turn basketball, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, y'all take your turns, Grayson Allen kick out three, where I don't really know how much an NBA coach has an impact on that team with that much talent.
I had that exact same thought. I was like, I have high expectations, because clearly what other people have seen in the NBA, his name was being thrown out there to be a head coach in the NBA, the guy knows what he's doing. He's got a great reputation. But as far as what we've seen, we haven't really seen anything.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to know what to base it off of besides his good reputation as being the highest paid assistant in the NBA.
And he was a G League head coach for, I think it was the Delaware 87ers, if I remember correctly. Yeah. And he had time with the Utah Flash as an assistant. But his only time as a head coach, you're not really running your own offense in the G League. It's just go out there and play. Like, I even have this conversation where it's like, how much does an NBA coach actually matter, and how much are they kind of just, you know, have good guys in the building, you know, keep everything level-headed kind of thing, which she is level-headed, like you mentioned. I don't know how much it's that. The one thing that does excite me is that he's willing to make that jump into college, and I think a part of that jump, yeah, there's a bunch of money, family, and all that factor, and coming to BYU and all that, but I think a huge factor is he wants to be able to run his offense. He has a vision for what he wants to do on the basketball court, and I think you're able to do that in college. We see with Dan Hurley at UConn, where Dan Hurley goes and coaches the Lakers. He's not going to be able to run this fluid, run it, you know, hard defense kind of basketball game that he likes to coach. Kevin Young, I think, has that vision of what he wants to do here, and I'm excited for that.
Well, one thing's for sure, regardless of what he does, he's surrounded himself with some really good guys on the coaching staff, starting with Will Voigt, Austin Spurs G League head coach. He's been all over the world coaching. Then he got Brandon Dunson, who came from Stanford. He was an assistant there. He's known for being a really good recruiter. We all know Chris Burgess came from Utah, was with BYU before that with Mark Pope. fantastic recruiter. You got Tim Fanning. He was the head coach at Overtime Elite. He coached internationally before that. This is truly, when you go through this, it's kind of mind-boggling, the guys that Kevin Young was supposed to get, that he was able to get. You got John Linehan, not that one, St. Joseph's assistant coach. Then you got Doug Stewart. He's the chief of staff, but he was formerly the Nevada assistant athletic director, and he coached under Young at the Delaware 86ers, by the way. You were close. And then the only guy retained is Nate Austin. Little surprising. I love Nate.
I love
Nate. Yeah,
love Nate. I was like, all right, Nate Austin's staying. I love this. That was great. But, yeah, so what do you guys like most about BYU's new coaching staff and what Kevin Young was able to wrangle in here?
I mean, I think what I love most about this coaching staff is everyone has a very distinct role, and they have things that they are very specialized in. And working all together, you're going to have different aspects of the game that these players are going to be able to go to. I mean, like, I look at John Linehan, and this is one of the best, like, defensive coaches, defensive players that you've really seen on the international circuit. And bringing that to BYU, where you have, obviously, Kevin Young, more of an offensive-minded guy, bringing in John Linehan, having this impressive defensive roster, it's going to be incredible. And then you have Tim Fanning, obviously, at Overtime Elite. I mean, I'm in this social media generation. I grew up watching these overtime teams. It's amazing to have that kind of talent and have someone who's so invested in the game the way it's running now. This coaching staff, I mean, it is. It's just the Avengers of a coaching staff. It's going to be great. It's going to be good for our players. They all have something that they can contribute, and putting it all together, it's just going to be beautiful.
Carter, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that's great on the basketball point of things. I'll talk about the recruiting side. I think this is like the most well-designed recruiting staff for BYU, because you have Chris Burgess, who's probably the best LDS recruiter out there right now. Mm-hmm. When he was at Utah, he was taking all the recruits. When he was back at BYU, he was taking all the LDS recruits, and we see he's doing a good job here getting Brody to come, or yeah, Brody, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, to come in. And then you have a guy like Tim Fanning, who he understands the AAU social media Overtime Elite generation, where he can get those guys to come in. And all these other guys, you know, they have legit resumes, like Will Voigt and Kevin Young, obviously, and Dunson. So I think the recruiting side, it's just so well designed for BYU specifically.
What's crazy is to think about 3 to 4 months ago when Mark Pope left, and the names that we were throwing around to be the head coach.
Yeah.
These guys that are the assistant coaches, most of them we wouldn't even think would come here. You know what I mean? Besides Chris Burgess, we were praying that Chris Burgess would take my coaching job.
When the job was open, I don't know if you were getting similar word and stuff. Like, I remember when I first got word that they're interested in Kevin Young. Like, why would Kevin Young take that job? The Hornets are interviewing him. Nets are interviewing him. Like, why would he make that jump? And, like, I was getting word that he was, like, interviewing, and it was serious. I was like, that doesn't make it. Why would he come here? And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, all right, it checks out. Trust the plan.
Bless his wife.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
For being a huge BYU fan. All right. What do you, how much of this recruiting do we think is BYU outbidding teams versus BYU's coaching staff is different? Carter.
I think it's truly 50-50. I think 50% of it is they are outbidding teams and they are putting up real money, because you just have to in college sports. That's what it is now. That's the game. You got to put up the money, and they're doing that. But also, if you're putting up the money, you also have to have that somewhat of a selling point, because whether it's a couple $100,000 or whatever, that coaching difference does matter. That covers that couple $100,000 or however much money it may be. So I think that is a huge difference. So.
What do you think, Tori?
Yeah, I have to agree. It's got to be about 50-50. It's nice. It's weird to see BYU putting up the money and watching this money kind of flow out. Obviously, with Yegor and Kanan and people like that, you're going to have to put money up. But also, I mean, we have to talk about, like, the retainment. Like, we were able to retain Richie because of the coaching staff that we have here. You're able to get people like Brody to come over because of, like, who Chris Burgess is, or even getting Kanan because of Tim Fanning. A lot of it has to do with coaching because, I mean, obviously, I didn't play at the highest level, but even in high school basketball, like, you play for coaches that you feel comfortable. That's why you have transfers in high school. You could go to places where, yeah, you'll be a star player, where you're going to do great. But if you don't like where you're playing at, it's not fun. And, I mean, we're biased, but BYU's got to be one of the best places to play at.
Absolutely. And I think money talks, and especially when you are – well, not especially when you're young. It always talks, right? But, like, you think of some of these kids coming out of high school, and you're like, oh, yeah, I want – I want to get a good jump start. Who can blame them in this economy?
I
want to do that.
But, yeah, if I was graduating high school and some coach came up to me and was like, you're going to make $1.2 million next year.
Like,
I'm like, yeah, I don't
care.
You're
like, who are you and where do you coach?
I'm going to Lubbock, Texas. All right, I don't care. Like, I don't even know where the
school is. I'll sit the bench for that. Awesome.
But, but something I was thinking about is especially Kanan and Yegor, they're looking to improve quickly. They want to be one and done. They want to play 1 year and they want to go to the NBA. So I think they are maybe less looking at how much can I make in this 1 year. I think they're looking at, I could be completely off. I don't know these guys. But if I were them, I'd be looking at who's going to help me improve my draft stock as quickly as possible in this 1 year. Because then I'm going to be making some money, right?
Yeah.
So I think that is what this staff has been able to do. They're like, because where else are you going to look? We're in college where it's like, who's going to prepare you for the NBA? Look no farther than Kevin Young, right? And the staff that he's come up
with. And I think he's doing a great job. The Yegor thing, it's a big investment. It's been well documented about what's going on behind the scenes there, how much money he's getting and whatnot. But I think it's a real investment to where if he proves year one he can get Yegor Demon to be a top 10 pick in this next year's draft, that creates the international pipeline of guys over in Russia, Spain, wherever in Europe, Australia, around the world, where they can go into this system and be like, all right, this is our one-and-done international program. Kind of like a much better version of what St. Mary's has done over the years, where they've been successful through the international pipeline. I think that's what BYU can be going forward, but in a much, much better and more talented version.
I don't know how I feel about the one-and-done. As a BYU fan.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome if year in and year out there's going to be BYU players projected in the top 10 in the draft. But as like a college basketball fan, you kind of want guys to stay.
I think it's an interesting balance, though, that BYU offers because of like the religious background and who we are, is you're pulling in these kids who don't think they're necessarily going to play at the next level. So you pull in like the Dallin Halls, where you pull in these kids, served missions, good kids, very big BYU fans because they've been members of the church their whole life, that you are going to have this kind of underlying, you're going to have these fan favorites, you're going to have the Richie Saunders who kind of play in the background while having these one-and-dones that make it exciting and give us some pops of attention.
Having that mix is critical because I love Duke basketball. I was a Duke basketball fan my whole life being from North Carolina. And so I know the one-and-done thing in and out. I see it every single year. And it does get old because sometimes you're like, oh, yeah, that guy played. Oh, he went to the NBA, kind of flamed out, whatever. You know, those fan favorite guys, it does become much harder. But at the same time, you're getting the real talent. You're getting the real deal.
True.
And BYU, let's be real here, they haven't had the real deal, in over a decade since Jimmer? We haven't had an NBA draft pick since then. So
yeah, you're right. That is true. It's like you can't have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
If you want the biggest recruits, they're not going to be sticking around.
And that's the best part is it's not like we're going all one and done like a Duke or a Kentucky where it's five freshmen to start. Like we said, like they have a mix of upperclassmen like Dallin Hall and these guys where it is that perfect blend of, you have one to two freshman guys that are going to take you to that next level, but you also have these guys that understand the college game and understand what it takes to win in this game.
Fox, CBS, and ESPN all do not have BYU on their way too early top 25 list, which we talked about it and we're grateful for. Torrey, what are your way too early expectations for BYU in the 2024-25 season?
I mean, for me, it's just I want them to compete. We're going to have a tough football season, so it'll be nice to move past that and see a basketball season which we can compete.
No comment.
But it'll be nice to see a basketball season where we really are. We're competing with the best of the best. We're in the Big 12. We've shown that we can compete once before. Now adding these star players, adding these star coaching staff, I just want to see them compete. And they can get better every day. Something that Coach Young says a lot is that he wants to just build on good days every day in practice. And I think that they have the capability to do that. I'm excited to see it.
I love it. What about you, Carter?
I think they're going to be a top 25 team. I think they're going to be – it's going to be interesting. I think they're going to be much more fun. I think they're going to be just a much more talented team, obviously. But I think they're going to finish around the same spot they did last year, which is kind of weird. You're like, they didn't improve much in their record. They're still, 21-10 in the Big 12, and they finished fifth in the Big 12 like they did last season. That's still a great season, and that still puts you where they were. They were realistically a 5 seed in the NCAA tournament. I think I would not be surprised if we're sitting here in next March during bracketology, and we're like, BYU's a 3 seed in this tournament.
I want to take it one day at a time. Can I say that, like all the coaches say? Because that's truly what I feel, though. Like, and I know as part of the media, you got to do these expectations, right? What do you think is actually going to happen? But the truth is, I'm like, I don't know. And that's what's kind of exciting.
Yeah.
Is I don't know. I'm excited to see how this all pans out. None of us know. We haven't seen anyone play together. We have no clue, like we talked about, what Kevin Young is going to be doing as head coach, what he's going to be running. And it's kind of exciting. I love that. But you got Kansas, Houston, Iowa State, and Baylor. They're coming back loaded this season. They're in the, top 15, if not top 10. And that's four from the Big 12 right there. So I think BYU is kind of a wild card. I expect them to mix in there somewhere in the top five, honestly. If this talent that they're bringing in pans out, and seeing what they were able to do last year with the guys that they had, I'm like, oh, yeah, BYU, with what they have coming in, can definitely be top five.
The one thing they did last year, though, that almost might have hurt them this year is they kind of put a little bit of a target on their back.
Yeah.
You know, they won at Allen Fieldhouse, and they're like, oh, BYU's not this little sneaky, cute thing anymore. Like, we actually have to, like, mess with BYU now.
Yeah.
That's true.
But I love it.
Yeah, no, it's
you
great.
Want,
oh, it's
you
a
want
great
the target
be
on
yet.
Your back. BYU loves being the underdog.
Yeah, that's
what we
no, no, I was about to say, you say you're like, I want the target on our back, but with BYU sports, that's the last thing you want. This, the second you have expectations, you're like, oh, we just lost to Toledo in football?
I know. We're not talking about football
yet.
Ouch. Carter, don't bring that up. That's for next week.
I'll tell you right now, we don't have the target on our back in football.
Maybe they'll do what BYU basketball did last year. Maybe BYU football.
Shoot a ton of threes.
I'm one for wearing the blue goggles.
Hail Marys every time. Come on.
I know. That's what I love about BYU football. If you're like, just be fun.
Yeah,
just be fun.
Agreed. All right, guys. Thanks so much for coming on. That does it for us today. Thanks again to Carter Bond and Tori Kimball, who also helped produce this episode, with senior producer Terry South. You can join the Cougar Tailgate wherever you get your podcasts, on Apple, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, or on BYUradio.org. Cougar Tailgate is a production of BYU Radio.